Welcome to Tarati Mecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Ruchama Welcha, and today we'll be studying Koheles Perek Ches, Chapter 8. This chapter has a few major themes, and they're all still within a framework of living a life of Yiras Elokim, including the importance of making good choices, including consequences for choices, and our limitations in understanding Hashem's ways. So firstly, in Psukim Aleph through Dalet, 1-4, he describes how wisdom is so valuable for a person, yet however wise a person is, they still need to subjugate themselves to a higher authority. Mi ke chacham u mi oidea pesher dover. Who is like a chacham? Says Rashi, who is as important as a chacham? And who is like someone who understands the meaning of things? These kinds of people are incomparable to other people. Chachmas adam ta'ir panav va'ois panav yishoneh. His wisdom transforms his face, it lights up his face. And we've vacillated a few times in this book between wealth and wisdom has always won out. Rav Yosef Kara says, see the difference between wealth and wisdom. In previous chapters, we read that wealth increases anxieties, it robs a person of his sleep. And in contrast here, we read that wisdom lights up a person's face. Nevertheless, he warns that Ani pi melech shmar va'al divras shvuas Elokim. Even though you may be wise, I advise you, says Ibn Ezra Ahmed Sudah, to keep the words of the king. Is this referring to a mortal king or to Hashem? So Mefarshim provides both explanations. And if we go according to Rashi's explanation, who also explains it both ways, we translate it as obey the words of Hashem because of the oath that we took at Har Sinai. Therefore, Al ti bohel mi panav telech, don't hasten to leave his presence, for he's everywhere, says Rashi, as we learn in the book of Yonah. Al tamad b'davara, and don't persist in an evil thing. Do teshuva, ki chol asher yachpoitz yaseh, because Hashem can do as he pleases and he'll exact retribution in the end. So to summarize this section, this is about the importance of obeying Hashem and of reverence for Hashem, Yiras Elokim, even though a person might be very wise. And this leads directly into a new discussion in the next section about making good choices because there are consequences for everything. So starting with Pasuk Hei, Pasuk 5, he warns man to live a life where he's cognizant of the consequences of his actions. Shomer mitzvah lo yeda davara. If you do mitzvahs, you won't come to harm. Ve'esa mishpat yeda lev chacham. And a wise man knows that eventually justice will be served, says Rashi. Ki lechol chefetz yesh es o mishpat, because there's a time for everything, including retribution. And ki ra'as ha'adam rabba olav. And in the end, man's evil overwhelms him. His own bad choices cause his downfall. The Medrash says that man absolutely has free choice over his actions, but we don't have free choice over the consequences of our actions. So if you pick up one end of the stick, you pick up the other. You don't have choice over that. And you have to consider this when you make your choices to begin with, that things catch up with us. However, in Psukim Zion and Ches 7 and 8, he discusses how people don't always consider this when they make bad choices. And when it comes to facing consequences, no one's going to discuss it with you. No one's going to ask you how you feel about facing the consequences of your actions. Ki kasher yeh mi agid loy. Nobody's going to ask you how you feel about this. And man has absolutely no control over these consequences. Ein adam shalit baruach lichloyes haruach. Man is powerless over the spirit, which according to the Medrash is translated as the angel of death. Man's powerless over the angel of death. And nobody can lock or restrain their soul in their body. Lichloyes haruach. No one can hold back death, say Rashi Ibn Ezra Ahmed Sudah. Ve'ein shilton b'yom hamaves, and even royalty, shilton, a ruler or a king, says Rashi, has no control over his death. We see that David HaMelech is always referred to in the text as David HaMelech. It's always it always calls him HaMelech, but when it comes to describing him dying in Sefer Melachim Aleph, it says Vayikru yemei David lamus. Doesn't call him king, just David, because when it comes to the day of death, everybody's equal. Ve'ein mishalachas b'malchama, nor are there any weapons, mishalachas, translated according to Mitzvah and Ibn Ezra, that can protect you against the angel of death. And weapons can't protect you in wartime either if it's your time to go. V'lo yimaleit resha es balov, and according to Ibn Ezra and Sfarno, this means riches will not save their owner either. So again, we do have control over our actions, but we're utterly powerless against consequences. And this is especially expressed in the way that we have no control over our death. However, in the final psukim of the chapter, Koheles considers that although there's definitely divine retribution and there's definitely consequences for everything, we don't always see it in this world. Sometimes it looks like there are no consequences, again raising the theological question that we've brought up a few times now, of tzaddik v'ra'lo, a tzaddik who suffers, and rasha v'tov lo, a wicked person who prospers and who has an easy life. So we don't always see how these consequences for negative actions play out. And in Psukim 9 and 10, Koheles describes a terrible phenomena of wicked people who oppress others, and they die peaceful deaths, and they leave behind children, and they leave behind a legacy, whilst holy people die childless, and they're forgotten in the very cities where they've made such a positive contribution. So we don't always, in fact, we rarely see justice in this world. And Koheles goes on to suggest in Pasuk Yud Aleph 11, that this is actually the reason why people are Rishayim in the first place. Because there's a time lag, because there aren't immediate consequences for actions, it gives people confidence to do the wrong thing. The concept of rewards and punishment is quite abstract for us. We don't see how evil is punished, and we don't see how good is rewarded, so it's very abstract in our minds. And it absolutely needs to be this way so that there could be free choice in this world, in the same way that you wouldn't eat something if you knew that it would cause an immediate negative allergic reaction. There wouldn't be free choice if we saw immediate consequences, but it does make it difficult to persist and to keep doing the right thing when you don't see how it plays out. And the Medrash tells us the story of Elisha ben Avoya, who became a heretic because he saw his child do two mitzvahs at the same time. He listened to his father and he did the mitzvah of Shiluach HaKein, of sending away the mother bird. And then whilst he was climbing down the ladder from listening to his father and sending away the mother bird, he fell off the ladder and he died. And Elisha ben Avoya was very troubled by this, because the rewards for Kibud Av V'Em, of honoring parents, and Shiluach HaKein, the rewards for both of these mitzvahs are specifically expressed in the Torah as Arichas Yomim, as longevity. And yet this child literally died in the middle of performing these mitzvahs. So he was very troubled by this and he became a heretic. And we don't always see immediate consequences. And it is very troubling and it is difficult to live this way. However, Koheles says in Psukim Yud Beis and Yud Gimel in 12 and 13, despite this frustration of seeing wicked people prospering and seeing righteous people suffering, I'm aware and I believe that even though a Rasha might do bad 100 times, or Ma'arichlo, and Hashem is patient with him and he doesn't get punished and he doesn't see consequences for his actions. Ki gam yodea ani asher yetoiv lirei Elokim asher yiru milfanav. Ultimately, I know there will be rewards for the tzaddik and it will pay off eventually, and it won't be good for the rasha. At the same time, even though we know this conceptually, Koheles acknowledges at the end of the perek that practically it's very hard to live in this olam hafuch, in this topsy-turvy world that's seemingly so full of injustice. Yesh hevel asher nasa al ha'aretz, there's hevel, there's frustration, there's futility, because you see righteous people who are suffering the way that wicked people ought to suffer. And you see wicked people who are being rewarded and living a lifestyle that should be deserving of righteous people. And I say that this is frustrating and this is futility. And the hevel, says Rashi, is that this concept confounds and confuses us so much and makes it so difficult to navigate this world. And this leads Koheles to conclude once again by praising enjoyment and the life of Torah and mitzvahs. Again, he's using a metaphor of eating and drinking for Torah and mitzvahs in Psukim 17 to 19, Yud Zayin to Yud Tes. There's no good for man in this world, ki im le'achol or l'shtois, but rather to eat and to drink, and to be happy, and this will accompany him ultimately. And this is actually the source for why the Medrash says that anytime you have eating and drinking in this book, it refers to Torah mitzvahs. It's because in this pasuk it says that eating and drinking will accompany you ultimately. And obviously eating and drinking can't possibly accompany us to the grave. So this is talking about a life of Torah mitzvahs, say the Medrash. And Koheles acknowledges that this is because however much you try and understand Hashem's plan, you can't really. Even if you forgo sleep to try and understand Hashem's ways, you still won't understand. However smart you are, even if a wise person tries to understand, lo yochal limtzo. He will never understand Hashem's ways. Even Moshe Rabbeinu wasn't shown Hashem's workings. When he asked Hashem to show me your face, then Hashem said, Orisa esachorai oponai lo yero. I will just show you my back. I can't show you the way I work in this world. So we will never fully understand Hashem's workings. We believe that there are consequences for everything, and we believe that righteousness gets rewarded and wickedness gets punished. But we don't actually see this in this world, and we have to be strong in our faith to continue to persist in righteousness, even without seeing immediate consequences for this. And to just conclude with a very powerful story that I heard from Rabbi Milstein about a 14-year-old girl who was a balas tshuva. And she was religious and her whole family was not religious. And she struggled and fought to keep a kosher home and to keep Shabbos, even when everybody around her at home was not doing so. And one day she was in a terrible accident. A drunk driver knocked down a pole and it fell on her. And she was in a coma for a long time. And when she woke up, her father was there. And her father said to her, why you? You're the good one. You're the one who's turned around your life for God. You've done so much for him. Is this how he repays you? Is this how God treats you when you've worked so hard to live a godly life? And with all her 14-year-old wisdom and having just woken up from a coma, she turned to her father and she said, you're right. I really don't understand why God has done this to me. But I am so grateful that I don't understand. Because if I did understand why this had happened to me, it would mean that the one who's running the world is of the same capabilities and the same understanding and the same intellectual capacity as a 14-year-old girl. So I'm fine with that. I'm fine with not understanding. I'm fine with being limited vis-a-vis God. An amazingly powerful story. So let's summarize the chapter. Koheleth started by reminding us of our limitations despite having wisdom, with the biggest limitation that we don't have control over the consequences of our actions. And we generally don't see consequences for actions in this world because Hashem wants to give people free choice. And we don't understand the way Hashem works. But we trust that He's always just and that good choices pay off in the end. Thank you for studying together Le'ilui Nishmas Rose Forman, Rachel Rachel Bas Aryeh Leib, and Rachel Zeitlin, Rachel Bas Shlomo.